Amen.
Aloha and welcome to Amen Podcast, where we preach the good news of Jesus Christ and how it applies to everyday life. I'm Lokelana, your host, and I'm joined by my husband, Alex, who is preaching about breaking the mold. We're continuing our series in Matthew, looking at chapter 9, verses 14 through 17. I'll go ahead and read, Alex will share the message, and then we'll have some response time after with me. Before we do so, we just want to ask that you would rate and review the podcast if this ministry has blessed you. We would greatly appreciate that. It just helps this message reach more and more people around the world. Let's read. Then the disciples of John came to him saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse tear is made. Neither is a new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst, and the wine is spilled, and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved."
Amen. Jesus came to break the mold. I don't know if you've heard that phrase before, but when someone says something like, "Wow, that guy really broke the mold when it comes to home improvement or home interior design," it just means that they've done something so different, so out of the ordinary, that it's never been done before. It can't be replaced. It can't be duplicated. It's one of a kind. The phrase first popped up when people who dug for ancient artifacts would find a particular artifact that could not be replaced, could not be duplicated. And so they would store it in a form of pottery. But because it was so one of a kind, they would just destroy and break the mold because they wouldn't need that mold to be used again for a similar artifact. Jesus is the ancient artifact, the Ancient of Days, the one that cannot be duplicated, cannot be replaced. He's one of a kind, the only begotten Son of God, and he broke the mold, telling us that what he came to do and how he came to do it was so different, so out of the ordinary from what the Jewish people around him believed. It takes us some time to really look at what he's saying through passages like this to understand, okay, who is this Jesus that even the winds and the waves obey him? So here we go. It says in verse 14, bear with me, I lost my voice preaching last week. The disciples of John came to him saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but you and your disciples do not?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? These days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them and they will fast." What he's saying is all throughout the Old Testament, God has been referred to as the bridegroom. He is the one that comes and rescues the bride, changes her life, saves her from her old life. He is the long-awaited center of attention when it came to these weddings. The bride wasn't the one that walked down the aisle and was celebrated and applauded for. It was the bridegroom. That is Jesus. He's the one that comes and changes everything. And he's saying, "I, the Messiah, have finally come." And what this means is it's time to celebrate. Jesus came to bring joy. He came to bring change. And so the very first miracle that we have recorded, him turning water into wine, what is he doing? He's restoring wine or joy back to the wedding party. And that's what he came to do. And so he's saying, "You see me eating and drinking and having fun and talking to these sinners, to my disciples, to these other followers of mine. You see me doing that because it's a time to celebrate. The time of waiting is over. No more waiting for the Messiah. He's here. I'm here." And so Jesus is saying, there's going to come a time when I'm going to be gone. He was most likely alluding to those 3 days when he was going to be dead. And that was certainly a time of confusion, a time of fasting for the believer, for the followers of Jesus, the disciples, because they had forgotten what he had told them. He told them, I'm going to die. I'm going to raise in 3 days. They didn't get it. And so in those days, we see them hiding. We see them afraid. Even when Jesus appears to them after he resurrects, they're hiding. That was certainly a time of fasting, because fasting has a place in our spiritual walk. Jesus is not saying that you should never fast because Jesus is here now. What he's saying is there's a time to fast and there's a time to celebrate. And what he says next tells us how he breaks the mold. He says that he is going to be like new wine and he's going to be like a new patch. So what Jesus is not is he's not a patch that you put onto an old garment. Mm. What that would do is the old garment is already stretched out like a good old pair of jeans, you know, and the new patch, I'll get him. And the new patch is not stretched out yet, if you've ever passed a pair of like Levi's or something. And so what happens there is when you wash them, when you clean them, when you've worn them a couple times, the new patch is gonna pull away, break away from that old patch. And it's gonna leave an even bigger tear. So Jesus is saying, the disciples of John, the Pharisees, you guys asking me these questions about fasting, I'm not coming to patch up the old system, the old Mosaic law, the old way of doing things in the Old Testament. That's not what I came to do. Because all that would do would just break down the whole system. He's saying, I came to fulfill the old system. I have not come to do away with ascetic practices like fasting. What I've come to do is I've come to bring a whole new garment. That garment is a garment of righteousness. Can you grab my water real quick? You guys pray for me. When a preacher or a podcaster loses his voice, it's not a pretty picture. But no, I got him. The new garment of righteousness is this garment that we are to wear in the presence of God. Jesus came to give us the righteous white robe, meaning even though we're sinful, even though we're messed up, when God looks at us, he looks at us as perfect and righteous because Jesus has covered us with his garment. Isn't that beautiful? Now, he's also given another illustration about wine. Wine, again, a picture of joy, but new wine is a picture of new life also here. And so if you pour new wine into an old wineskin, what that would do is, since these wineskins were made out of animal hide and stuff like that, the new wine would expand the hide of the animal skin and rip it, and the new wine would be wasted, and this old wineskin that could potentially have still been used to hold old wine, fermented wine, it would have been wasted too. So again, he's saying, I'm not coming to fill the new system with a new set of perspectives. That's what rabbis did. Rabbis came to bring new twists and turns on how we looked at the law. And he's saying, I'm not a commentator. I'm not a rabbi like that. That's not me. I am the Messiah. I've come to bring a whole new wine, a whole new wineskin, something you've never tasted before, something you've never had access to. That's what he came to do. And what that looked like was breaking the mold. But breaking the mold was a hard thing for religious, spiritual people to do, me and you, because we get so caught up in the old system. We get so caught up doing what the church fathers and the people before us did, that when someone comes along and they represent Jesus, it can be confusing. It can be controversial. You could experience something or hear something and you say, well, wait, this is biblical. This is right up the alley of what scripture is saying. This lines up with Jesus. How come the people around me are not falling in line with it? Why is my church doing these things that I don't see the early church do in the book of Acts? Why are these Christians acting like this when I don't see the early Christians acting like this? why is this pastor acting like this and teaching like this when I don't see the apostles living like that? We must be in the business of breaking the mold because Jesus broke the mold. And he broke the mold by him being the mold that was broken. You see, on the cross, the Bible says in Isaiah that it was God's will to crush Jesus, to break Jesus. Why? He was the mold. Mm-hmm. And he was broken because he was the only one of a kind, perfect, sinless sacrifice that could take our place, that could satisfy the holy, righteous wrath of God. And he had to be broken. And because he was broken, we have the power to break the molds in our life, to look at the religious, spiritual practices in our life that have lost their meaning. Well, we break the mold because we need to stop looking for the answer in the old system, in the old ways of doing things. We have like things that we've just been doing forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And we haven't ever really asked ourselves, why do I do this in my church? And as long as you keep on trying to look for the same answers and the same way of doing things forever, you'll never find the answer. You'll never find him. The Bible tells us that when we break the mold, we'll raise to new life. Jesus was the mold that was broken, but he was risen. And he's coming back again. So in the meantime, we ask ourselves, okay, God, what molds in my life are you asking me to break? God, what do you need to break? What do you need to help me break in my life? I had this mold of like, just thinking like every single morning, I got to have my quiet time. I got to have this perfect prayer time, this perfect undistracted hour long Bible reading time. And I've realized as a father, if I try to hold on to that, I'm going to end up breaking something that's more important. Look at me right now. I'm doing a podcast episode holding my baby. Is this ideal? Is this a normal podcast? Absolutely not. But if I hold on to this mold of like, well, every pastor ever has always had a suit and a pulpit and a Bible, and he has done it this way. My church fathers before us have done it this way. So I can't hold a baby in a t-shirt in a garage and preach a sermon. That's just not the way it's been done. That's not the mold. God has asked me time and time again as a father, Alex, what is most important? Your first ministry or doing things the way they've always been done? You see, we can break the mold without breaking away from what Christ has called us to in ministry. That Jesus was breaking the mold and he was called a glutton and a drunkard because he was eating and drinking and celebrating his coming as the Messiah. And the Jewish people saw that as absolutely crazy. They called him a glutton, they called him a drunkard because of that. But you see, he was breaking the mold without breaking away from the Father's will. And you can do the same with God's help by looking at the cross, how the mold was broken, so we can break our molds. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for sending your Son, the perfect mold, to be broken so we can break the molds in our life. Give us the power to do so. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. This is the part of the episode called After the Amen, where we ask you a question to help apply this message to your life. And our question today is, what does God need to break in your life? What does God need to break in your life? And I'll go first, as always. Just thinking, you know, in response to this message in this moment, I think through prayer, God will reveal some of these ancient practices in my own life that I need to break. But what I just comes to mind right now is just my fear of man. Mm-hmm. I think that sometimes I'm afraid of these type of characters that are challenging Jesus that exist today. And so I want to appease them and I want to just give into what they believe we need to do, just like you know, they're asking Jesus to do right now or challenging him with, but that is sin. It's sin. And that's not how Jesus responded to them. He didn't say, oh, wait, you're right. Oh my goodness. Like, let's stop. Let's do this. Or like right now, disciples start fasting. You know, like he didn't just give in to what they were challenging him with that wasn't the will of the Father in that time or wasn't necessary in that time. And so I think that's what I need to break in my life is to not be afraid to go against some of those practices or to stand up against some of these people who may come in and trying to challenge. Doesn't mean I have to be rude or anything like that, but I don't have to be afraid to share what God is doing in our life and why we may do the things we do, why I may choose to do something this way instead of a different way. And this has been an ongoing battle, and it's just an area of that the Lord is still sanctifying me in. But this is just another great example to see how Jesus handled this boldly. And as believers, we can do the same so that we can not only experience freedom in our own lives, but we can bring freedom to the lives of those that, you know, the Lord is calling into his flock, those that he's taking the blinders off of, just so that they can follow him more freely and obediently instead of feeling like they have to succumb to these ancient practices that lack, may lack importance, you know. And we're not saying, again, as Alex said, I'm not saying like, oh, fasting lacks importance, but it's the heart behind these questions and why they were challenging Jesus in this way. It's not the practice itself, but it's how they viewed the practice, you know.
Exactly. You're right, totally. And I think that was even a mold that needed to be broken for them. Mm-hmm. This idea of just do what the rabbi says because the rabbi says it, or honor your rabbi by not questioning him, honor your rabbi by just following closely in his footsteps. And Jesus came to break that mold and saying like, yeah, I don't do what your rabbi does. I don't do what your rabbis do. My life looks different than your rabbis because your rabbis have lost why they do what they do. Mm-hmm. And why they do it was supposed to be for me, to teach people about me, the Son of God, the Messiah. So I think you're right to say that that's a mold that God needs to break in your life. This idea of just being fearful of spiritual leaders, mm-hmm. instead of having, you know, God asks us to have a faith and a love and a relationship with him so strong that we are willing to question our leaders, not in a disrespectful way, mm-hmm. but in a way of like breaking the mold and saying, okay, should I just keep on doing what this leader is saying just because this leader is influential and this leader is passionate? Or should I really look at scripture and see if Christ acted this way, yes. if the apostles acted this way. Mm-hmm.
And of course seek him. And of course seek the Lord's guidance through prayer, and he'll reveal it and confirm whatever has already been said in scripture.
Yep. And keep looking at him breaking the mold. Mm-hmm. It's going to pretty much be the topic of the next, like, a bunch of sermons, I don't know, a dozen sermons. It's Jesus breaking the mold over and over and over again, flipping the kingdom upside down. And so it's going to be beautiful. Love you so much. AmenPodcast.com. And we'll see you in the next one.
Until then, go out and be the church.
Amen.